afternoons with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon Delight.
Let's go hour number four on a Thursday. The tournament is underway. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling was out here hanging out with us. He's headed home right now. Brian Fitzgerald producing for us right now. Thanks to Patrick and our crew for getting us all set up. Leslie was here earlier as well. Colton was here. I'm not sure if Colton is still here. Yeah, there he is. What's up, Colton? Thanks for those guys. And thanks to Twin Peaks for having Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Remember, if you want to text us something, it's the Specs text line, 337-3776. This one off of the tattoo conversation said, that tattoo guy's awesome in Manor. He did my whole leg piece.
Nice.
There you go.
Cool.
And this text says, stop the St. Louis Cardinal talk. Go Cubs, go, baby.
I feel you.
I've told you not to text the show during the show.
I know. You think that's me.
What are you doing? That comes off of the Paul Goldschmidt discussion because the word is he's about to sign a five-year, $130 million deal with the St. Louis Cardinals. So he will be the Cardinals' first baseman for a little while.
Yeah, it was a good deal, and when they traded for him, I figured that there was probably something in the works, and like you kind of talked about, I mean, this may be a little bit of a trickle-down effect, but he's a guy, too, at 31. You don't want to give too much. That'll take him to 36. I think it's a good deal for both of them. He gets locked up maybe a year or two longer than he should, but he also gets paid what he deserves.
As far as the tournament goes, we'll talk about games that are going on, but I think there's the one bit of good news so far today from a tournament perspective. Forget about brackets and all of that. Just from your eyes and watching the tournament, we talked about this earlier with Rod. It's going to be good if Zion Williamson stays in the tournament because people want to see him play.
Yep.
The other guy is Ja Morant. And the fact that Ja Morant and Murray State not only won, but won impressively today as a 12, I think that's good news overall for the tournament. 83-64, like we talked about. I don't mind a blowout. Just be definitive with it. You play well and then continue to play well. I want to see Murray State keep this up over the next game or so.
Yeah, I don't think two individuals will ever save a tournament, but I agree with both y'all. I mean, that you want these two guys in it. They're going to be the one and two picks, and Morant, from what I was able to see during the show, was able to facilitate on an assist on a dunk. And then he had his own dunk right there. That was nice. So, yeah, he's a fun guy to watch. He is one of those guys that you will tune in for.
Oh, that's a nice two-hander right there. The thing that also can happen is I think with one more win, when you get two wins in the tournament, because you get that full week of discussion after that, all he needs now is one more win, and I think even more people are going to start to learn exactly who this kid is. The Steph Curry effect, if you will. Wally Szczerbiak became a name people knew because of the tournament, and we could go on and on. Whereas you may not know a guy coming in, but you kind of learn who he is with a couple of wins. So Murray State's going to take on Florida State. Maryland, LSU, they both won. They'll play each other. Minnesota's going to play Michigan State. Auburn will take on Kansas. Kansas thrashed Northeastern today, 87-53. And right now there's only one game going on. Florida and Nevada have tipped off 12 minutes to go first half, and they are tied at 13. We're kind of in that lull, which this has always been the way it is at the tournament, that lull right before about 6:10, 6:15 when you start to get the evening tips. So tournament underway. We hope your bracket's not too damaged.
So who have you really watched this year that you're excited about, whether tomorrow, tonight, whatever?
The teams I'm really excited about, excited positive, would be Duke, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Okay.
Those three teams. I feel like I've watched them enough this year to kind of feel like get a feeling for what they are. I know them. Carolina's another team. North Carolina's a lot of fun to watch. Now, on the negative side, in kind of a arms folded version, I really want to see Virginia play with some pride here because they suffered not only a historic loss, but a bad historic loss. We've talked about it, right? The 16 didn't just beat the one. They just destroyed a one. I want to see how much pride they have this year. But it's those three teams for me. Duke, Kentucky, Tennessee, maybe we throw in North Carolina. And I'll admit, a team that I wish I'd watched more, that I'm always interested in, I trust Tom Izzo enough when he gets in the tournament. that I know he's got a well-coached ball club. I've watched that team a little bit this year, but I'm not going to pretend like I know them. But I want to see how they move through. They play Minnesota now, who shot the ball well today. That's a nice second-round matchup that I'll definitely pay attention to.
Yeah, I want to see what Izzo. I've watched them probably like you, I mean, a little bit this year, but they came together. I mean, this is a team that, well, hell, they came together in the Texas game. Think about that first half and that second half. So, yeah, I'm always trusting an Izzo team. I'd like to see them match up with Duke. I want to get as much chalk as possible, unless it's a Murray State, who a lot of people picked.
Yeah, right. I don't think anybody considers Marquette great chalk.
No.
Right, Marquette is a five. Yeah, exactly. I think the key chalk is ones and twos.
Yes.
We need the ones and twos to get through.
I'd like to see Houston make a run.
Outside, that would be cool. That'd be cool for, you know, the regional standpoint. Also, and maybe, I don't know if this is true, do college basketball fans, do you care about a coach going through a tournament? Like, do people care because they know who Kelvin Sampson is? Do fans look at it that way? I don't know. That's a question I don't know the answer to. But just, you know, trying to get more eyeballs on the tournament. Does at least a coach that they know get him interested? I don't know.
Probably not Sampson. I mean, you know, this sport, kind of the stars have been the head coaches. So an Izzo may draw you like you were just talking about.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And then it's interesting you mentioned Houston, too, because for me, there is this big line after the two seeds. I don't believe in any team below the two line to win a national title right now. So what I want to see then is a Texas Tech, Houston, the other threes would be Purdue and LSU. Are any of those teams good enough to where they can win two games, we're headed to the Sweet 16, and we think, oh, wow.
They can do something.
That's a team that can really legitimately put the one in danger, put a two seed in danger.
Well, they played really well today, but I just don't see. I mean, Kansas just does not look like a four seed to me, and no one's ever going to be able to convince me that they are one. But they are.
Yeah, they are.
In this tournament.
Right.
And they played really well in a game that a lot of people thought Northeastern could come and win that thing. I called Brad this morning to see if he wanted to hang out a little bit and talk some college basketball. And he said, man, timing's just not going to work. I got to be by myself to watch this one.
Yeah.
And he picked Northeastern to win.
Wow. Okay. So he thought it was coming, too.
He thought it was coming.
Yeah. Kansas looks really good. And it really, not having watched a ton of the game, it felt like a combination of Kansas played really well and Northeastern played like garbage.
Yeah, and they didn't shoot well, which they're going to have to.
Right. 21% from beyond the arc is not going to get it done. Not going to get it done at all. So the tournament rolls on. And one thing we haven't mentioned today that I think needs to be mentioned, it is, I think, tonight when Kentucky plays. Yeah, no, they just tipped off. P.J. Washington is not playing.
Right.
In fact,
and we were, I think last time we had talked to y'all about that, the word was he was going to try and play through it.
And that's because Calipari told the media that he thought he was good and that they were just going to have him get checked out by a specialist and figure out, let's just make sure he's not going to hurt himself by playing.
Yeah.
That he's putting himself in danger. Not only did they say we don't think you should play, they went ahead and put him in a hard cast.
And he had been in a boot, I think, all week.
Right. So it's gone from the boot to the hard cast. I don't know what that means about their second round game. We'll see. They've jumped out on Abilene Christian and the coach with the hole in his pants, 6-0 in the early going there. Florida and Nevada, 15-14 Florida. That is 12 minutes to go in the first half. I heard somebody throw this stat out, and it's amazing. It's been this long, but somebody mentioning the last team that went back-to-back in college basketball,
Florida,
would have been those Gators in 06 and 07. So that's what Villanova is trying to do this year. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about them legitimately making a run and defending. They are a six seed after all, but they are a team that is trying to do that. So we've definitely talked some basketball today here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Also, football, there's been plenty of that. We've got 23 days to go till the Texas spring game. Longhorns will be back at it next week after spring break. We're also 6 days away from the pro day. We were talking about yesterday exactly what day that is. Next Wednesday is the Longhorn pro day. Next Tuesday is the Aggie pro day. There'll be important players for both of those teams going through workouts. Obviously, we've talked about Charles Amenihue, a guy that was an intern with us. We got a chance to know him on a personal level. He's got a chance at that pro day to maybe tweak some things up from the combine, because some of it looked really good for Charles, but I guess some of those timing and measurable stuff he can improve on. at the pro day, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, hopefully he can. We'll have to wait and see. Everything I'm seeing, though, he should be really happy. I know he wants to try and improve on his own for his own sake, you know, any of those times. But everything I'm seeing, I mean, he looks like he's going to be a second-round guy. I'll be surprised if he slips out of it. Not shocked, but he definitely made himself a lot of money considering what he was being projected at last year.
All right, let me tell you folks about Sinus and Snoring Specialists, and then we will keep knocking it out here, see where Kevin wants to go. Sinus and Snoring Specialist Dr. Slaughter can get you breathing better, feeling better, sleeping better, just like he did for me. Over 20 years of experience offering the very latest in ear, nose, and throat technology. I slept really well last night. I'm sleeping so well and so hard right now. Good, hard sleep. That recuperative sleep we always talk about. It's because of Sinus and Snoring Specialists. You can call and set up an appointment today, 512-601-0303. Be sure to tell them you heard it here on the Horn, and be sure to get to their allergy center. Test you for 50 different allergies at once without needles and find out what you're allergic to and then get rid of those allergies for good, just like they're helping me do. SinusSnoringENT.com is that website. It's Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Feel clear, rested, and healthy.
When's golf coming in? When's Tiger coming in? Is that this weekend or next weekend?
That is next weekend.
Next weekend.
The Dell Match Play and the biggest names are usually in it, and they are slowly getting committed. I think it's tomorrow they have to commit by the end of this week, I think it is. But yesterday it was Phil and Jason Day are in.
Yeah.
Tiger's already in. Rory's in. I mean, the Spieth, and it's another big group. But that, I believe, next Wednesday. I think the day of, is it the day of the Longhorn Pro Day? I think it might be like the Wednesday, maybe the first round, because they have to do an extra day because of all the different match play events. But yeah, that's coming up next week out at the Austin Country Club. So our area over there on 360 gets a little crowded next week, especially by the bridge.
The match play for me is always fun, just in terms of how they do it. It's a little different and everything. I like that hat. Okay, cool. Hook 'em.
There
what's
it
up,
is.
Man? But having Tiger come in is just like this thing feels like it's grown up now.
Yeah, no, that's that extra level.
It really is.
Boy, and because these events, the World Golf Championship events, you can't just like anybody can play. Like, there are guys out there that are professional golfers that couldn't beg their way into this tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know the official rules in my head right now, but you have to have won a tournament in a certain period of time. Obviously, if you win a major, you can get in, but it's a certain group. It's an elite level, and the fact that they're all, you know, agreeing to come to Austin is so cool for the people that get to go out there.
So, I don't know if you saw this or not, but it looks like the Cowboys and Rams are going to be playing a game. Is that, where are they playing this, Hawaii? Preseason game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What in the world does that accomplish? Aloha Stadium?
Yeah.
Going to Honolulu for a preseason game?
The Rams are going to be the home team. Okay. Dang.
Well, they love moving this league around, don't they?
I can see playing that game in Mexico. I mean, Honolulu's fine, but what are you getting out of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Right, nowadays, now that they're so intent on going to Europe, going to Mexico, going to these international
But the Rams
locations,
and Cowboys?
Yeah, that's...
There are some Latino fans there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right. Mexico City makes total sense. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like for a preseason game, because that bowl game, I think they still play that bowl game.
They do, yeah.
In Aloha Stadium.
Yep.
It's pretty lifeless.
It is.
Every year.
If it's going to fill, though, or get close, it would be that.
Maybe that'll do it. Yeah, maybe that'll do it. The only thing I don't like there is the extra travel and stuff, but you know what? If you can make these guys, give these guys a little trip like that in preseason, maybe they won't gripe about preseason.
Well, I forgot about this. It says, under Jones, the Cowboys have played preseason games in Tokyo twice, London, Mexico City three times, Toronto, and then Monterey.
Yeah. See, maybe I just don't realize that they've traveled that much. That makes sense. That's Jerry.
Right, exactly.
That's Jerry making moves.
Screams of Jerry.
Yeah, definitely.
And will they make moves in the draft, though?
Yeah, right. Will they make the correct moves in the draft? Will they stay tight with their thoughts in the draft?
Right.
And will they end up with the right guys in the draft as we are only 35 days away?
So I do want to get to this really cool moment with Ichiro. I don't know if you saw any of that.
I saw a little bit, yeah.
Ichiro is officially done, and that's the good news. But also just the way he went out. I mean, it was saw some stuff online with – the players, you can tell how much they respect him. You know, and the fact that a guy like that was able to end it, and he said through his interpreter, you know, he said, trust me, this is it, I'm done. He's like, I can't go out on a better note. For a guy like that who grew up, you know, I mean, coming back home, and he is the baseball, he's their Babe Ruth.
Right.
I would still think he is. Maybe O is, but.
Now, they won the first game. Did they win both of the games, Seattle?
They won both, yeah.
They did win both.
Yeah, they
okay.
won both.
And then the one thing I didn't see is the contributions that he made. Now, did he start either of these games, or did they just get him in?
No, I think he started because he had two at-bats, got out, and then walked on one. I'm not sure what he did this morning or last night. But yeah, I mean, they started him and got him out, then got him out after the fifth, I believe, or I'm not sure when they got him out. But the cool thing is all the Mariners left the field.
Like, oh, really?
I mean, yeah, everyone. I mean, it was legit.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, he's such a legend, and the fact that there are guys playing right now and former players that are referring to him in, like, godlike status. But you said it. I mean, he's got to be the if it's not him, there could only be one other guy, but he is just so revered there. Now I want to see, based on everything I've read about him and know about him, we've talked about him, can he put it down? Really move on?
I'm getting into it in one and done,
okay,
and
cool.
That is a great question.
Okay.
And that is the question, because of why he's so good and can still do this at 45. There's a lot of Jim Palmer and some other guys, which is you look at and all of us say, hey, man, you know, we worship you, the fact that you're that age and still staying in shape, but can you actually quit that?
Now, my next question is one I've never thought to ask, but do they have beer league softball in Japan? Because he would be a hell of a guy.
They don't. It's actually a lot more dangerous, and you get hammered a lot quicker. They have Sake League softball.
It's Sake League.
Oh, it is.
They go Sake softball.
It's pretty hardcore, man. Pretty hardcore.
Oh, man. I remember hearing those stories about, you know, Jose Canseco playing softball or whatever. Ichiro would be the most insane, like, late 40s, early 50s softball guy that may have ever lived.
Yeah, and softball is the only other sport where I've seen people that actually move in the batter's box as they're hitting it. The only baseball player I ever really saw that do well was him. He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, you're moving your feet a lot. Yeah, I'm good.
Because I'm headed right over there.
Yeah.
I'm about to be standing on first base, Goofy. All right, Big Three coming up. We'll get you updated on the tournament. We've got 1-2 tournament games underway. We've got multiple finals. We've even got second-round matchups to talk about. We'll get to all of that, plus a couple of football stories. And, yes, we'll revisit the Longhorns and the Razorbacks and 15 pitchers used at Dish Falk Field last night. Wow. Then Kevin's got one and done for you. We are here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. We'll be here till 7. It's the Horn. Rolling through a Thursday, we're at Twin Peaks in Round Rock. Brian Fitzgerald producing for us back in the studio. What do you got here, Brian?
The Water Boys.
The Water Boys. Not familiar with that. Should I become familiar with the Water Boys?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's a no.
Okay. Well, no, because I'm not sure it's your style. That's why I got
it. I see.
Okay.
I got you. Anybody famous I would know in the Water Boys?
No.
Okay, gotcha. A couple of famous folks with birthdays and music today. Eddie Money is 70, 2 tickets to Paradise. And Slim Jim Phantom of Stray Cats is 58. What was your opinion on the Stray Cats? Stray Cats, Strut, and all that. Brian Setzer, were you into them at all?
Give me something, because I know what you're talking about. Give me a song.
Yeah, so let's see. Stray Cats, Strut, but also Rock This Town. We're going to rock this town, rock it inside out.
Not my jam.
No?
I know.
A little too old school, probably.
A little too old school. Yeah. I probably liked that song the most when I was in my swinger phase.
Right. Did you go through
the actual movie Swingers phase?
Oh, the swinger period?
Yeah,
I got you.
The actual swinger period.
I got you. You are so money, you don't even know it. All right.
Did you like that movie?
Yeah, I did. I saw it a little later.
It got cultish.
A little later. It's one of those movies that I think is really good, but also overcooked at the same time.
I can see that.
It is not as good as everybody thinks it is, but it's still really good.
But it's still really good.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that's about as Vince Vaughn can get.
Very much so.
Like, that might be it for him.
Skinny Vince Vaughn.
I know a lot of people like Wedding Crashers Vince Vaughn, but that Vince Vaughn
Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Whew, man, that's incredible. Favreau was really good in that one as well. And I think he was involved in the creation of that movie.
I think you are correct.
He wrote it.
Favreau was.
Oh, he wrote it? Okay.
Right, yeah. Because he became a director and everything. He's done all kinds of stuff behind the camera. Yeah, that was well done. All right, let's get you a big three here because there's a tournament going on all around the country.
The Big Three. The Big Three is brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right. If you're looking for buzzer beaters, we haven't really had one of those yet. There was a sloppy end between Auburn and New Mexico State. Could have had a buzzer beater. It just didn't quite happen. But Auburn survived it, 78-77. They will now take on Kansas. It wasn't a buzzer beater in the Kansas game, 87-53. Bill Self's group just cruises through to the second round. So Auburn will take on Kansas. Other winners, Maryland, LSU, Minnesota, and Michigan State all win. So they will match up in the East region. So if you had that Belmont over Maryland, that one didn't happen. LSU, if you had Yale over LSU, that one also did not happen. Down in the Western region,
I did take that.
You got LSU losing?
I had some fun. Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with that. I also took Brandon saying I have Oregon in the Final Four.
Did you?
Yeah.
I like it. Technically an upset with Minnesota beating Louisville, a 10 over a 7. And then another upset a lot of you may have had that did come through in a big way is Murray State. Ja Morant and Murray State win 83-64. Ja showed off as he can. He had a triple-double. Is that showing off? Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's showing off.
Is that good enough for a show off?
And some poster dunks.
Man, let me pull up this this box score so I can tell you exactly what he did. Ja Morant today went for 17, 11, and 16 assists. Not bad.
No.
Only 5 of 9 shooting, but distributing the ball, the big-time dunks, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. This is a guy that if you don't know about, find a way to watch their next game. They take on
Florida State, and I like
Florida
that matchup.
State. That's a good game. I like it.
I like that matchup a lot with Florida State getting over Vermont, and they've got size. They've got some guys that can really go, and they had a nice little run there in the ACC tournament. So I think they're playing good basketball. That's going to be a fun matchup. I really am excited about that one.
Yep, that's definitely good stuff. As far as games going on right now, there's only a couple, and Florida's up on Nevada 26-23 late first half. Kentucky's handling their business even without P.J. Washington. If you missed it, he's not playing with this foot injury. He's got a sprained foot. They put him in a cast to be sure so he can be back for the next game. They're up 18-3 with 12 minutes to go in that first half on ACU. Finish off with some Longhorn stuff. We obviously talked about the crazy marathon last night at the Dish. Thankfully, it didn't go extras. Texas wins 7-6, 15 pitchers used, 27 men left on base. Neither team could find the strike zone throwing a ball, and they really couldn't find a big hit. Kevin, if either one of those teams had really found some two-out hit opportunities, they might have scored 20 runs.
No, there was not going to be separation. It reminded me, luckily for a different reason, of what we were getting a lot when I was doing play-by-play, and it just beat me down to a pulp was no offense and no separation. And so this was more because of pitch. You know, this was kind of other things, although you're right. There were two out hits that weren't there. I'll say this. It's not the easiest thing to get there and get in the box and really zone in on stuff. It was not on the outer half when the ball's everywhere, including coming at you.
Yeah, that had to be tough.
These kids are tough, but they're human.
That drove you to work with an Aggie, didn't it?
It did, yeah, exactly.
That's rough stuff, man.
No, but you know what I mean? There was no separation back then.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of had that feel that we don't get with college baseball now, which is why it's a lot more fun to watch.
Yep, that was that hopefully will be an exception and not a rule for those two teams as they move forward.
It will be there. Look, that was their fifth game. They were going with their fifth starter, and like I said earlier, at least for Texas, if I really got their top five starters, some of those guys are coming out of the bullpen on the weekends.
Yep. No, you're right. Speaking of Texas, NIT second round will be Texas and Xavier. Xavier beat Toledo last night. Might want to watch out for a guy named Najee Marshall. He had 20 points and 21 rebounds in the game last night. 17 defensive rebounds. Longhorns may want to get on the offensive glass.
They're going to have to. Now, this is a rematch of a Sweet 16 game in 1990 against Xavier.
Oh, yeah.
I think Tyrone Hill was on that team. But that was a game where Texas was down and Lance comes back Texas came back, but Lance Blanks had one layup where he gets fouled, and then like he's on his butt dancing. I mean, you could
when
BMW started rolling, you could feel it, and I remember feeling like I was so confident at that point. Like 8 points is nothing. This team's coming back. So there have been some great games. Also, 2004 Sweet 16. I guess that's the game Barnes got ejected.
Okay.
I don't remember that as much.
No, I don't remember the details of it, but I remember that there was one between the BMW and now.
Yeah, exactly.
With Texas and Xavier.
So, as I tweeted last night, rematch of the 1990 Sweet 16, and then I...
Feels the same.
had to go rematch maybe a little strong.
Trying to
a
make...
A tad.
Yeah. Hey, it is the round of 16.
That is true. I mean, didn't even think about that.
I don't want to get too technical here, Kevin. But
no, you're right.
If you win, you go to the round of eight once again. that game is Sunday, by the way, at 3 o'clock. We'll have it for you here on the Horn. It is on Big ESPN if you want to watch it on TV. One other quick Longhorn note. Congrats to a new Longhorn. Longhorn fans hope it's a playing Longhorn this year. Brew McCoy was named National High School Offensive Player of the Year. This is the same folks that do the Maxwell Award. If you listen to this show, you know we don't try to give you, like, who's on a watch list of 90 guys or whatever. But if it matters, if it gets down to, like, finalists and single digits and things like that, we'll mention it. But stuff like this, I think, needs to be mentioned. Congrats to Brew McCoy for that. All right, there's your big three.
That's it, 102-89. That was the score I had in my head.
Is that right?
And Tyrone Hill was a senior, averaging 20 points and 13 rebounds a game.
102-89. And that's Texas won that? Or
that's Texas beaten. So Texas beat Purdue to get to that game.
Right.
This is in the Sweet 16, gets them to the Elite Eight where they lose to Arkansas.
Gotcha.
96, 92, something like that. 90.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Reunion.
The fact that you guessed that one right there is pretty impressive.
God, I love that team.
All right, let's get you to one and done and get you a little more from Kevin Dunn. We got a sponsor.
This segment brought to you by Texas Carnhouse, where every Thursday night is ladies' night. Ladies get 50% off club access fees from 11 a.m. Thursday all the way till closing time at 4 a.m. on Friday morning. Texas Carnhouse, Austin's premier poker club, texascarnhouse.com.
I think Greg Swindell refers to you as a god. It's Kevin Dunn.
88-85. Oh, man. God, that was a good Arkansas team.
So close.
Good times, good times. Also, good times last night if you are a baseball fan or just a sports fan. I guess it technically would have been maybe this morning. But Ichiro is done. Ichiro is, I think, officially done. We'll see. Reading some of the stories about this guy, he really is one of a kind. Bobby Valentine gave this story about whenever he was managing him in Japan. And he's a mathematical genius. Like, is
Bobby Valentine or Ichiro?
Bobby would probably say Bobby is.
Okay.
Ichiro apparently is, where I guess they was, you know, 40-story building, and he looked on the right side where all the rooms are in the elevator, the buttons, and added that up, like, in 2 seconds, what the total is. Yeah.
Wow.
Valentine was blown away. And one of the great things about Ichiro, though, is that he didn't want that story to ever get out because he felt like it was really a knock to true mathematicians and ones that are geniuses. Right?
Wow.
Kind of tells you who this guy is. Never flung a bat. Never got on a bat. When I say got on a bat, destroyed it with a water cooler or whatever. Or never blamed his tool. And they asked him, and said, well, you know, he's got this special bag that even on the road would have 8 to 10 of his bats. And it was very, very well kept, and he guarded it and was really careful with it. And they asked him, they said, why are you so careful with your bats? And he said, well, you don't see a I'll bring it up here. My computer's freezing on me.
Like the surgeon doesn't leave his scalpel laying around.
Yeah, right. The carpenter doesn't mess with his hammer.
Yeah.
You know, he takes care of his tools, and that's the way he looked at it. But also the mathematical part, the way that he would hit and the way that the angles kind of worked in his head, Valentine went on to say he would run to a spot as an outfielder because he just had a bigger picture of what the whole field was. He knew where the ball was going. This guy was really, really special. One of my favorite stories early on from him was that in batting practice, when he first came over here to the States, he would launch homers. Wasn't what he's trying to do. This guy was about getting on base. This guy was about winning. The only thing we missed out on is I really wonder what the hell his numbers would look like had he been here the whole time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've heard teammates of his talk about that in batting practice, he could hit a homer anytime he wanted to.
Yep.
Any pitch, any moment. But he was working on things. But if he wanted to get into a home run derby, he could do it.
Yeah. Oh, he could.
He could just pull one out anytime he wanted.
So early on, the first year here, we forget he hit 352.
That's okay year. Yeah.
Is he going to be able to adjust the fastballs and the different pitching over here?
Maybe.
Yeah, he can. But Lou Piniella early on said, hey, you're getting all these singles, soft singles and bloops to left. That's impressive. But can you hit the ball hard? Can you hit it over here? And he points to right field. Can you pull it? Ichiro goes, I can hit it hard over there, and just started lacing line drives to right and still spraying the ball around the field as he hit 352, kind of letting his manager know, I'm all right.
Another thing I love about Ichiro is a story that came up while we were, you know, while the progression of his career was happening, is while the, and it was during a stupid era of baseball where the All-Star game determined something in the World Series, but this story showed up out of nowhere of, they were asking the American leaguers, hey, why are you guys so successful? Why have you been so good in the All-Star game? And slowly this story would start to come out about, well, it could be the Ichiro thing. And they're like, what do you mean, just because he's a good player? No. That he was well known for giving a speech every year to the AL team before the All-Star game, and none of those guys would finish it and think, oh, my God, we can't lose.
Yeah.
Like they would just walk out of there going, oh, my God, we got to go win this thing. Apparently, that was part of him, too. He loved baseball that much. He loved being on that team that much, and he just would not let them lose.
Yeah, no, I've heard similar stuff to that, and not exactly that story, but that he was a guy with the All-Star game that kind of took it seriously,
yeah,
the way that Pete Rose used to, you know, the kind of the way that some of the guys used to when we grew up. That was a big game,
right,
regardless of money or what counted. It was just about the fact those two leagues were going up against each other. We were lucky. We got lucky as sports fans. I'll be the first to admit I was curious to see how he'd do over here. I thought he may do well. I didn't think this, man.
So you and I caught the
not end, those numbers.
You and I caught the end of Pete Rose, who's got the most hits in Major League Baseball history. Is Ichiro the best hitter you've seen with your eyes?
Great question.
Just pure hitting the baseball?
Ooh.
I mean, he's got to be in that discussion, right? We caught the end of Pete
Rose.
Yeah,
he's right up there.
We saw you know, Tony Gwynn go
Tony
through
Gwynn,
his prime.
Tony Gwynn, obviously, is a guy. I'll give you a guy who's right up there with him and shows you just how good he was. And I'm talking strictly a pure hitter here.
Uh-huh.
Bonds.
Barry, yeah.
And Barry got
right.
Barry was a lot better even as a Giant than as a Pirate in terms of his discipline, his understanding of hitting. But yeah, he's right up there, and the way he did it too. I mean, that's one of those things I would not show him moving his feet in the box and dropping his hands and kind of feel like dragging through it, almost like you'd see in softball,
mm-hmm,
college softball, right?
Right.
Or fast pitch softball.
Yeah.
You don't teach that. Like, his hand eye coordination is dumber than his mathematical skills.
Yeah, it's that was a great job of them giving Ichiro his last ride, that
yeah,
last parade route. That was pretty cool over the last couple days.
Boy, they like baseball over there too.
A little bit.
I did
a little bit.
Think about you too. I watched a little a replay on MLB this morning, I guess, mm-hmm, and you know, Japan, they do take care. You know, they're really, really safe. And
yep,
I saw one, I mean, in terms of down the first base line, they've got that kind of plastic barrier up.
The extra netting, the barriers.
But
yeah,
the plastic barrier would bother me.
That probably goes a little too far. They also put, in certain seats in their stadiums, they put a helmet and a glove and a piece of paper to remind you to be careful.
I know.
They're hardcore.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, how is Chad running stuff over there?
I know. I should be getting some money from
Japanese
baseball. All right, coming up, we will get you a little one last thing, a couple other updates on the tournament. The Kentucky game's going on. The Florida game is at half. We'll give you those scores and let you know what's coming up this evening in the tournament, including for you Baylor fans. You're the last game of the night. We're at Twin Peaks in Round Rock, and this is The Horn. All right, just about done on a Thursday. Hope you enjoyed your first day of the tournament. Hope your bracket's looking all right. We're here at Twin Peaks in Round Rock, and a quick reminder, tomorrow we'll be at The Rock in downtown Round Rock for tournament games as well. A couple quick things before we get out of here. Thank you to one of our listeners. Hair of the Dog is what he's called on the text line. The thing with the match play is easy. Top 64 in the country, nothing more, nothing less. Tiger never qualified before this year. So that is a good point to bring up. I think I'm mixing up that with like the Players' Championship and the way you qualify for that.
Yeah.
But this particular event, it's top 64 they qualify, and then they kind of go from there. So this is Tiger's first opportunity for this event in Austin to say yes and come because he's hadn't been top 64. So good for him, and that'll obviously add a whole other layer to that tournament next week.
It really does. I mean, it's already been fun, and that thing's already been building some momentum, but you get him in, and now I guess is the first time he can come in. I would hope there would have been an exemption, but they're doing it straight 64.
That's it, man.
They weren't going to let Texas in after the TCU loss.
That's right. You got to get in. We got our rules here. Also, before we get out of here, four games underway. We got one. We're over 2 minutes. Let's go one last thing here.
One last thing.
Pittman! So Florida and Nevada are at the half, 37-28 Florida. Kentucky handling ACU 30-13 late first half. Gonzaga up 26-6, a football score over Fairleigh Dickinson, 9 minutes first half. Villanova up on St. Mary's 11-8. And your games tonight, only four to tip after that. The Michigan game, then Seton Hall, Wofford, Old Dominion, Purdue. And for you Baylor fans, Baylor and Syracuse is the latest tip of the night, about 9 o'clock.
Syracuse missing their best player as he's been suspended for this thing. So you would look at Baylor there. And then, we got Oklahoma tomorrow. I read an interesting thing about Lon Kruger. I didn't realize Lon Kruger was that good of a basketball player. He was 2-time Big 8 Player of the Year at K-State.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
I had no idea he was that good of a baller.
The man can Lon can hoop?
Yeah.
I didn't know Lon could hoop.
Look, I don't care what's going on at that point. You're 2-time Big 8 Player of the Year.
Yeah.
You can ball.
Hey, thanks to everybody out here at Twin Peaks. Sarah's been taking care
Sarah's
of us.
Sarah's been awesome.
Come on out. All the great Twin Peaks girls will be willing to take care of you out here. Twin Peaks and Round Rock and those Horn Bash passes, thanks for coming by and grabbing those. Again, we'll be at The Rock in Round Rock tomorrow for a Friday edition, getting you ready for Texas and TCU on the baseball side. So enjoy the games tonight, and we will talk to you for a Friday show. Thanks to Patrick and our crew out here for getting us set up. Thanks to Brian Fitzgerald for producing back in the studio. Everybody have a good Thursday. Enjoy the tournament tonight. See ya.
The wacko factor depends on whether or not you have any small animals to put them on, like gerbils, hamsters.
Nah, get chucking, Joaquin.